Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here once again with another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen. Boy, it sure is good to have you with us, Dave. You're quite an inspiration to this program, and your words of inspiration have always lifted us. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit today, Dave. Now, that's a subject that's right down your alley. The Holy Spirit is necessary for your entry into the kingdom of God. That's a very powerful point for us to talk about today. You see, the kingdom of God is a mystery, always has been, always will be. Logic cannot grasp it. Words cannot define it. Yet millions have tested the miraculous change from this world into the next world, and the new birth is a reality. You see, the kingdom of God is life in the Spirit. How about this quote from Romans? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's right out of the Bible. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 reads that way. You see, when your pursuit of His kingdom becomes your priority, everything else you need in life will emerge. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. One of the most popular verses in the Bible, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You see, the kingdom of God is the opposite of self-life. You must first have that Spirit. You cannot depart from an ungodly life without the Holy Spirit. You must have the Holy Spirit on your side. Do some research. Those of you who are at home and you have pen and paper, write down Ephesians chapter 2. And read verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. You'll find them to be quite inspirational. They'll say things like, the mercy of God gives us a cross to the Holy Spirit who changes our very nature. Millions are staggering around earth like drunkards, emotionally bankrupt, spiritually sabotaged, helpless and lost. Only the Holy Spirit can move them from the darkness into the light. You see, it's the Holy Spirit is the only true friend who can change your very nature, give you focus, and turn you from a child of disobedience into the child of light. Always remember, the Holy Spirit is necessary for your entry into the kingdom of God. David, your years behind the pulpit is probably something very powerful and meaningful to you, because you undoubtedly talked about converting people and changing their lives nearly every Sunday. Do you have any pearls of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners about how that they can make that transition to the Holy Spirit?
Well, when you become a pastor, you got to change your life, really. When I left Bible college and traveled for 25 years with a singing group, then I got a church in Iowa to preach every Sunday, and many times, and I've watched myself now that I'm through all of that. I'm moved into my 80s in life, and I am having to trust more and more in what the Holy Spirit says to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm preaching in my church on the 30th. It's kind of a birthday present, I think, that the pastor said, Dave, why don't you preach on the 30th? 28th is your birthday, and being 82 years of age, we'd like to hear from you. I said, praise God. I went to my study, laid the Bible open on my desk, and prayed a prayer that said, God, the Bible's open, and I don't know what to preach. So please give me insight. Let the Spirit of God come into my study and just help me. I said amen, opened up my eyes, and I picked up the Bible, and it was laying open to Acts chapter 1. And I said, okay, God. I began to read verse 1. Let's see, just lay it on me. I read the whole book. I finished chapter 28. I don't know how long later, but I decided I was enjoying it so much. And I said, God, 28 chapters of Acts is a fabulous, fabulous book. And the message that I got has just been burning in my soul. And I'm going to preach it on Sunday, on the 30th. And it's a story of, Acts is a story of the Apostle Paul finding the real, true message. And so I'm going to dramatize my message in the church about the Apostle Paul. Man, have I come up with some stuff. I wake up with a start in the middle of the night. And I'll just tell you one little thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to die on Sunday. I read where Paul had all this problems because he's a preacher. People threw him out of the synagogue. People got mad at him. They came with, you know, the cat of nine tails and took off his shirt and beat him to a pulp. And it took him almost a year to get over that. And then it tells you in there that he was beat five times. So in like 8 years, he had his back a mess. It's a wonder it was still. You talk about being branded. If he ever took off his shirt, people would say, Paul, what in the world has happened to you? Well, I was beat five times. But then there was one occasion. They brought stones, and they stoned him. And they thought he was dead, and everybody went home, left him laying there at the edge of town. Well, I decided that'd be a good thing to do in my message. So I got all the young people. We have about 30, 40 young people in our church, and I said, look, I want you to bring two stones, actual stones that weigh, I don't know how much, you know, within, you can hold them in your hand. And in the middle of my message, you all are going to come yelling at me that I'm preaching wrong, and you're going to destroy me with those stones. And I actually get stoned on the platform. It's things like that that the Holy Spirit guides you. Do you want to do this, or would you like to do this? And I said, you know, people came to me and said, if you're ever going to get stoned, make the paper mache. You know, that's drama. Paper mache stones. I said, never, never, never in your life. I'm going for the real thing, man. Bring the stones. So I think I've upset the apple cart for the youth. They got excited about saying we're going to stone Pastor Dave on Sunday, and so I'm getting as many young people as I can. I asked the youth pastor, I said, if you bring 50, I want them. And we'll have a big stoning on the platform. When you do that, you get people's attention, and then you can tell them a lot of things. And Paul told them a lot of things. You realize that Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. 13 books. He is the man. He's the one. I said, God, I need to sit down and read all 13 books. I just need to open up, starting with Corinthians, and go all the way to Philemon. And wow, and he wrote these all in prison. After he's beat up and back was bleeding, and they put him in prison, said, stay here for a while. He just didn't get in there and cry. He got in there and said, okay, I'll write a letter. I'll write a letter to Philemon. I'll write a letter to Titus. I'll write a letter to the Thessalonians. Wrote 13 letters, and people don't even know it. Get out your Bible right now. You that are there, get out your Bible and look at, go through Acts, and then start into the 13 books that Paul has written. How did he say hello? What did he say? He was in prison. What did he say to the person he's writing to? What did he say to the Corinthians and the Thessalonians and the Romans and the Galatians and the Ephesians and the Philippians and Colossians? I mean, he went through the gamut. Well, you know what, Giff? I was excited about the Bible like never before at my age. And being a preacher for 10 years from the pulpit every Sunday, I was stunned. And I'm going to challenge my church to take the summer, June, July, and August, and read the 13 books. It's about 400 pages. They read through, ladies read through these books now that they buy that aren't even real. And if they could take 400 pages, they could read 400 pages in one day. I believe my wife might be able to do that. Anyway, that's my story of the Holy Spirit that will guide you to something and turn your life on. I preached hundreds of messages, and I bet you I have been any more excited about any of them than this one. You talk about the Holy Spirit, it still abides with us. I just opened up the Bible and said, oh, God, come on. I need a message from the Bible. Here it is. It's open. Show me.
And you were shown, huh?
Wow.
Well, I guess.
I've upset my whole home. Judy and I said, sweetheart, leave me alone today. I gotta get a message, and it's so big, it's over my head. Way, 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 way over my head. That's what preaching is. It's the Holy Spirit.
That is the Holy Spirit. Because I, too, am preaching on the 30th of April, and I, too, am preaching from Acts. But I'm not going to have 40 or 50 people throw stones at me. Now I feel inadequate.
It's not too late. You got 2 weeks.
I can still do it, yes. Yes.
Yeah, some of those people like to throw stones at you.
Perhaps. Perhaps. I might not have any trouble getting volunteers. That's amazing, Dave. What a testimony. Those are very powerful words, and I wish you the best. I hope you have some kind of shield, because I can visualize 40 young people with stones and seeing you standing on the pulpit, and they're all at close range, and they're all winding up, and these young people can throw pretty accurately. It's not like you get an old guy like me throwing at you.
Well, yeah, I got to give a talking to. I got to rehearse before I get to the pulpit with those kids.
Yeah. You're going to have to tell them.
Let me show you how to throw that stone.
Throw a curveball here a little bit or something. Yes. Yes, I wish you the best. I know that you're very sincere about your efforts. And that would be quite dramatic to see that. And the listeners, the people in your congregation, are going to be able to visualize the life of Paul. Imagine him going through a stoning and then living through it. And being able to stand and testify again the following week. What an amazing story. The book of Acts is quite powerful, and it's full of joy and peace and happiness. But it sure has some heart failures in it if you're talking about being stoned. Quite honestly, Dave, I did not know that occurred. I don't remember reading that. So I guess the age is catching up to me, too. I'm starting to forget things.
Well, they preach in a lot of churches. Yeah. Paul took... I've got 6 guys from my church helping me. Mm-hmm. I finally got on the phone and said, I got this vision last night. You want to do this? And called up 6 guys, and they all said, yes, 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 we want to do something. We want to be on the platform. We want to help the church. We want to help you, Dave. Yeah. Man, I got 6
yeah, lots
guys.
Of volunteers.
That's wonderful. I don't know how we're going to fit it all in. But
wow.
I said, God, I want to preach something that the people will remember for the rest of their life.
They sure will remember that one.
They won't forget.
No, they won't.
So that's what makes you a preacher. That's what makes the Holy Spirit valuable to you.
Protect your head. Let's move forward. We're talking about the Holy Spirit today. You realize the Holy Spirit only commits his guidance to those who are truly sons of God. And that's very important for you to remember. I have some powerful points to make here. I've been reading some good literature. And in fact, I have some of these sentences right out of some other books that I've read. The Holy Spirit always rewards obedience. Now, I don't have to be an Einstein to allow you to understand that. You cannot deceive the Holy Spirit. You cannot manipulate him. You cannot intimidate him. He rewards those who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior by divine guidance and direction. Here's a quote for you right out of Romans chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 reads that way. Your commitment to Christ produces much more than eternal life in your future. It's very important that you pray regularly in hoping that the Holy Spirit is going to lift you. Your life in Christ is honored and celebrated by the Holy Spirit, who came to testify of Jesus and glorifies him. Have you fully committed your life to Jesus? Have you determined with your whole heart to follow him completely? You realize he is the only answer. There is no other answer to life than Jesus. But Jesus wants to rule every part of your life and guide you into the decisions you are making. He does this through the precious Holy Spirit, who is our advisor. He's our comforter. He's our friend, who never leaves us or forsakes us. Jesus said that the world did not really know him, and the ungodly would not recognize him. Now, you find that written in John chapter 14. But those who obey him, he would guide and direct their decisions. If you obey him, he will guide and direct your decisions. Ask him to guide your decisions in every relationship. Avoid the unholy alliance. Can two walk together except they be in agreement? Amos chapter 3 reads that way. His guidance is available to you on just about every major issue in your life. All of your financial purchases, your investment opportunities, the very car that you should purchase. Yes, anything that concerns you will concern the Holy Spirit. Ask his guidance about your spiritual overseer. Where do you belong? What church should you attend consistently? Where should your gifts be used the most? Who is the mentor the Holy Spirit has selected for you? You see, you have to ask his guidance about your career or place of business. Your work really matters to him. Deuteronomy chapter 28 says, "He will bless the work of thy hand." So seek his guidance. Never be ruled by logic. Logic can produce order, but faith produces miracles. Accept and embrace the chain of authority the Holy Spirit has established in your life. Your parents are gifts from the Holy Spirit. Believe in God so strongly that you believe he can guide your life through their decisions. Always remember, the Holy Spirit commits his guidance to those who are true sons of God. David, I know that you're an inspirational person. Could you offer a prayer in our behalf for our listeners? They are very concerned about making certain that they do the right thing and asking the Holy Spirit for their guidance.
I'd love to pray. This is an important part of our program at times. We need to pray for these who are listening and are asking God for answers, and they tuned to the right station. And we're sitting here wondering what we can do. And so let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for every blessing you have given us, especially what we're talking about today, Lord. We're talking about the divine guidance with the help of the Holy Spirit. Guide us today into a place of blessing. Guide us away from temptation and unholy relationships where we could fall into error. Guide us concerning our spiritual pastors. And we trust you, Lord. We trust you explicitly in the things you tell us, even about our business and our financial investments. And we lean on you. You never, never disappoint us. My faith is in you, and because of that, Giff and I, we can rest in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Thank you, my friend. Our listeners, thank you as well. The Holy Spirit will often warn you in advance of possible dangers. We live in a world that sometimes is challenging, and the Holy Spirit is your personal protector. Your safety matters to him. Your peace of mind matters to him. He does not want you to waste your life or your time in wrong places or dangerous people. No one knows the map of your life as well as the Holy Spirit. That's why Apostle Paul counted him continuously. The Holy Spirit warned Paul through the prophets. And there are a lot of facts that the Holy Spirit wants you to remember about your enemies. Number one, your enemies do exist. You must recognize that Satan has assigned people and empowered them with his evil and twisted power to break your focus and distract you from the perfect will of God. Fact of life. Number two, your enemy is known only by the Holy Spirit. Your enemy is deceptive, clever, and cunning. Yeah, he has prepared your downfall. You cannot afford to trust your own mind. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Proverbs chapter 5. Number 3, when you listen to the Holy Spirit, you will be protected from the pitfalls of every enemy. Continuously pray in the Spirit. Listen to his voice. When you are in the middle of a conversation with someone and sense satanic influence, stop and pray to the Spirit. And I know a guy who says he even left the restaurant table to go into the washroom so he could pray privately. It meant a lot to him to pray in private. But you can even sense the evil power even at work in a situation like that. Number 4, rest in the knowledge that the Holy Spirit will continuously warn you. Do not become unnerved, unsettled, or angry. Simply rest and trust the Holy Spirit. Always remember, the Holy Spirit will often warn you in advance of possible dangers. Those are some powerful tips for us to put our teeth into, Dave. Would you share a closing thought with our listeners? We have exhausted our time. Once again, it goes by so quickly. Do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners?
We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And we can do that by having the wrong kind of conversation and the wrong conduct. Every day we ask early in the morning in prayer, oh God, let the Holy Spirit guide us and use us today and keep our conversation right and our conduct unbelievable. People say, how do you live that kind of a life? You have to live it every day. You have to live it by inviting the Holy Spirit to come among you and to be in your heart and into your life. You have to be aware that he's there waiting to come in. And when he does, wow, things happen. And you begin to see a different kind of lifestyle that you're willing to live, and he helps you to do. I'm sorry about the time. Maybe I'm going over, but it's been good to be with you again today, Giff. We have to trust the Holy Spirit to make our program valuable and to produce something of strength and courage in everyone who listens to us today.
Thank you, my friend. It's time for us to, we surely must say goodbye. You brought up some powerful subjects. We're going to try to continue real soon with the same subject. Bye-bye for now.
See you later. Bye-bye.